Going over there. I won't be in Philippians today, so amen. A lot of things that we're going to try to discuss this morning that's not in your book, but will get us kind of going in the right direction. Romans 12, 1, that was our memory verse. And we're going to get into this first lesson here, total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. Amen. All right, now how many have ever committed Romans 12, 1 to memory? Raise your hand. Okay. How about Romans 12, 2? Okay. How many went down to verse 3? Okay. So this is going to be my encouragement. Chapter, the lesson 1 and 2 talk about Romans 12, 1 and 12, 2. Those will be memory work. But I'm going to encourage you to go down a little bit further to maybe verse 3 and 4 and 5 if you can make it all the way down there. And again, that will be some help to you, give you a little bit more understanding of what's there because the background has been given in Romans, and Paul has done a tremendous job just giving them an understanding of how all people have sinned and how all people need to be saved. He talks about Israel's future in 9, 10, and 11. Then he comes into chapter number 12 and says, now, based upon what I've told you, I want you to go ahead and put that all into practice. And that begins to start in chapter number 12, going down into different spiritual gifts that are in the church. And he says, look, I've got some gifts here that God has given to you that I'm going to discuss here. And I want you to make sure that you're using your spiritual gift in the church. By the way, how many of y'all know what your spiritual gift is? At least one of your spiritual gifts. Okay. If you have a spiritual gift, it should be utilized. Romans is not the only area where they're listed. There's some in 1 Corinthians, there's some in Ephesians, some in 1 Peter. And so if you know what it is, you ought to use it. If you don't know what it is, we'll have to cover that sometime soon. Amen. All right, let's quote Romans 12, 1, and then we'll get into the lesson here. Here we go. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy. I mean, I messed up, didn't I? I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of, am I missing brethren? Therefore, that's right. No, I just got off track. I'm thinking about something else and trying to quote a verse. At the same time. Amen. All right, here we go. Let's say it together. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Oh, I'm already in 2, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, so one is as far as we're going. Romans 12, 1. Amen. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Now work in us and through us, Lord, as we talk about total sacrifice equaling total satisfaction. Lord, bless now. Give us great discussion. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Neil, you know it's hard to quote scripture when you think about something else. Amen. You know, you got two thoughts going and then you start skipping stuff. Amen. All right. There's an introduction here. We read the back of your books last time to talk about what this book is all about. And all the verses are listed there. And the goal here is to make sure that we can incorporate these verses into our active life. Now, most of us know Romans 12, 1 and verse 2, but we want to make sure that we have it in our active view. Notice you've got an overview there. And let's read this here, and I want to get some discussion going on. It says, after all that Jesus Christ has done for us, he acts very little. Now, you think about that. He acts very little. This is one of the distinguishing factors of Christianity. Other religions require people to do something to have eternal life, but Jesus alone offers salvation on the basis of what he has already done. By the way, if you're Islamic faith, what do you have to do to be sure of eternal life? Anybody know? Yeah, you got to be good. Yeah, you can't know, but there's 5 things that they're supposed to do. If you do these things, you have a better chance. Ms. Dawson? One is to pray 3 times. I think it's 5 times. 3 or 5 times a day, you got to pray. I think it's 3 to 5 times a day. What's the other thing? Pilgrimage to Mecca. You got to make a pilgrimage. Now, what if you can't afford it? Guess your chances are slim.
Then you don't go to heaven.
Yeah. It got something to do with it. What's another one? Anybody know? Got to give a certain percentage to the poor. Exactly. Got to say that. There is no other prophet but Muhammad.
Right.
Blessings and peace be upon him. My sister used to quote that to me all the time. And then there's one more. Of course, he already said, if you're a martyr, then you're kind of automatically ushered into paradise.
There you go.
So if you don't do those things, then guess what? Your chances are not as good. If you're Jehovah's Witness, what do you have to do to get to heaven? Jehovah's Witness. Baptized, got to knock on doors, got to be a witness. That's why they call it Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
If you're a Mormon, what do you have to do? Got to be baptized. That's one of them. Got to have the Book of Mormon and do what it says there. Joseph Smith, was that? Go on a mission trip if you're a guy. If you're Catholic, what are you supposed to do? Got baptized is one. Confession is another. Got to do your rosemary beads.
Yeah.
Keep the sacraments. What is one of the sacraments besides baptism? Communion, marriage. Who am I supposed to marry? Another Catholic.
Yeah.
You don't marry another Catholic, your chances are going like this. Is that right?
Last rites.
So you're not really guaranteed heaven until you do some of this stuff. That gives you a better chance. Now, when it comes to Christianity, what do we have to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what?
Saved.
And people look at that. I talked to some people from Turkey and they said that's just an easy religion. There's no sacrifice involved in that. You just say you believe Jesus Christ. I said, well, it's more than you just say you believe in Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot more to that belief that goes in there because he radically changes your life. You got to drop your pride to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you got to drop pride. If I'm doing all this pilgrimage to Mecca and marrying Catholic people and all this other, what can I actually say? Who said we're working? I'm working. I've done something. The Bible clearly says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should what?
Boast.
I went to my pilgrimage. I prayed five times a day. I gave money to the poor. I've done this. I've done this. I've done that. And so I belong here, really. Diana. Very good point. And well put. That's exactly how it is, basically. That is exactly how it is. Which leads me into my next statement here. In your book there, it says, because of what he has done for us, our reasonable service is to live our lives for him. Exactly what Diana said. Because of what he has done for us. No Christian, notice this, is obligated to do this. You don't have to do this. But any Christian who has a, notice this, firm grasp of what Christ has done will want to. Why? Love? What else? Why would I want to do this if I have a firm grasp? By the way, are there some Christians that don't give their bodies a living sacrifice? Yes.
Yes, there are.
Yes, there's probably more that don't than that do. Brother, would you agree with that in your years of ministry? There's more that say, I'm saved and this is my life. Let it be. And we don't sing here, take my life and let it be. We say, I've got my life, now let it be. And so more do. Notice this. Any Christian who has a firm grasp of what Christ has done will want to. Why else besides love, Jerry?
We should present our bodies
as a living sacrifice. We should want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice like Christ did. But now, why should I want to do that? be more Christ-like, Ms. Dawson? Thankful and want everybody else to have that. Diana. Amen. And we are commanded to do that. But now, do we have to? Notice the verse again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Beseech means to plead or beg. By the mercies of God, because God is so merciful, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Did Paul say, thou shalt present your body?
No.
Did he say, if you don't present your body, you're not a Christian?
No.
Did he say, if you don't present your body, you're going to look like a bad egg? No, he didn't. He said, I'm begging you by how merciful God has been,
amen,
that you present your body. Give yourself as a present to God. He said, a living sacrifice, holy. He says, and be not conformed to this world. So this is not something that everybody has to do. But as it says in your book, if you have a firm grasp of what Christ has done, you will want to. By the way, how many of y'all ever lost your wallet? And a stranger found it and gave it back to you. Brother, do you have all your belongings in there? Everything. How did you feel about that? What did you want to do for that person? Amen. Anybody ever met the person that turned your wallet or whatever in? You met them face to face. Oftentimes the way it goes is somebody turns it in and then you don't know who did it and they're anonymous. Amen. Could have been an angel. Protecting y'all. Amen. But you feel thankful. You feel grateful. You really do. I remember there was a wallet right there on Walgreens. It must have been payday. It was loaded with money. And I didn't even count it. The money was just sticking out of it. And I thought, glory to God, that's a lot of money in this wallet. And I picked it up. And I took it right back in Walgreens. Now, by the way, why do you think I took it right back in Walgreens right away? I thought they might be in there. And I thought maybe somebody would be there and I could witness to them. But there's another thought that came in my mind as well. Think about today's technology. Cameras.
There you go.
Your own candid camera. Look at this thief down there. Get that money and pull that money out. After I thought, man, I want to get this back to his owner, I said, there's probably cameras out here anyway. And so I took it back in there and gave it to him. Never heard from the guy again. I was on one of my walks one time. And found a driver's license from a gal there and looked her up. My wife and I went to go and return the driver's license. The girl was so thankful, got a chance to share the gospel, and she got saved.
Hey.
Wow.
That's good.
I mean, you really never know. But when someone returns something to you, your prized possession, whether it's a dog, normally these dog signs says missing Fufu. And if you find her, please turn her into this number. Yep. And what do they often say sometimes? There's a reward. Why? They want Fufu back.
Yes,
or Fifi or Fred or whoever. Not Fred. Fred is in here. I can't use that name.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have a prized possession, whether it's a dog, a wallet, a credit card, or debit card, we were at QT one time and lady left her debit card right up there by the dispenser. And I went and turned it into the counter. I gave it to Joshua, told Joshua to take it up there. And the lady came back and, oh, my credit card. Oh, oh. She was all frantic. No. And they said, oh, we got it right here. She said, oh, who did it? And they said, oh, the little lad right there. Oh, can I buy your stuff? Of course, G2, Joshua was like, you can buy everything. You know, of course. What happened? She was thankful. So that last sentence says no Christian is obligated to do this, but any Christian who has a firm grasp of what Christ has done will want to. Now, by the way, what did it cost Christ? Everything. His life. If we had to pay that, what was it going to cost? Too much. Everything. It's going to cost our life. And guess what? We only have one. So guess what happens then if we had to give up our life? We are no longer. Amen. So what this says then here, some of the goals here is that we want to discuss what it means to be a living sacrifice. We want to discuss that a walk with Christ is motivated by what Christ did for us. That thankfulness that Brother Neil mentioned about his wallet, what Mrs. Dawson says. And also, we want to make a decision to surrender more of our lives to the Lord if we haven't already done so. By the way, have we different parts of our life that we surrender at different times? Yes. And at certain times, do we take that back? Yes, sometimes we do. Just like with children of Israel, God gave them all the Canaan land. They spent the next years fighting and taking it back and then losing it and then taking it back and then losing it and then taking it back. The Christian life is the same way. We battle, and God, we hear a truth from the preaching of the Word of God or from our devotional life or our Bible reading that we haven't surrendered or that we gave back up after we surrendered it. And then we say, man, I got to do that again. I got to be more thankful. I got to be more kind. I got to be more giving. I got to be more forgiving. I got to be more loving. I had surrendered that to God, and I told him I was going to be more loving to my wife, to my husband, to my child, but now I'm not because they got on my nerves or whatever the case may be. And we end up spending the rest of our lives going through this battle of surrendering and struggling to fight for it. Surrendering, struggling to fight for it. This verse here is telling us that there's got to be a total sacrifice. And it will equal total satisfaction if we continue to live on that plane. By the way, when you find out that you have something that you had once surrendered to God that you took back, what should you do? Surrender it back.
Surrender it back to Him.
What will that make you? What's that? Normal. Well, yes, it'll make you normal. Make you peaceful. Yeah. Because whilst you have it, what's going on inside? Turmoil. There's a war. The flesh is saying, gimme, 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 gimme. Spirit is saying, but doesn't that belong to He who died for you?
Yes, sir.
And flesh is saying, but gimme, 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 gimme.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And spirit is saying, I'm not going to take it from you. And flesh is saying, good, 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 because I'm going to keep it. And all the while you're talking, someone, well, your face looks like this. Y'all tore up. You're bitter. You're mad. You're angry. What's the matter with you? Nothing. There's something wrong with you. You got bitter struggle going on.
Well, yes, we do, Pastor.
And guess who you take it out on? You take it out on everybody. You're not going to take it out on yourself. Most times. You beat yourself up. Normally, what do? You take it out on everybody else. Because why? You're bitter. And nobody knows that you're bitter, and they ask you a question that infringes upon that area of surrender. And who do you get mad at when they ask? Them. What were you talking about? How many of y'all remember Different Strokes? What you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about,
Little Arnold? What you talking about, Willis? That's the attitude that we get when someone attacks that area that we had surrendered, then we took it back over here. Got nothing to do with nobody else. That doesn't have to do with your wife, your husband, your kids. But as soon as somebody tap dances on that area, what are you talking about, Willis? And we get mad. So total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. All right, here we go. Let's get into the introduction here, and we probably won't get that much past that. The introduction asks me to ask you a question. It says, can you think of a statement that somebody said to you that left a lasting impression on your life? A statement that somebody sent to you that left a lasting impression on your life. It says maybe it was an encouraging word from a parent, or maybe from a teacher, or maybe from a coach, or maybe from a friend. There was an encouraging word or a lasting statement that someone made to you in your life. And what was that statement? Anybody have a statement somebody made to you? Lasting impression. Yes, sir. Amen. Church going through struggles. Time and the Holy Spirit is on your side. I need to hear that too. Amen. That's good stuff, brother. Amen. Anybody, a statement that you heard that somebody said to you left a lasting impression on your life? Encouraging word from parent, teacher, coach, or friend? Brother Holmes. Amen. Amen. So a statement that made a difference. Amen. It's sort of like hearing, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Yes.
He coined the term kill yourself for a job that takes you only 2 weeks. And he took that to heart. And the open work yourself, throttle back, open the time. Works his 8 hours and goes home because of stress himself on the line.
Wow. And so true. Amen. And I heard something similar to that because I was doing that as well, killing myself for the job. And, you know, someone told me, they said, if you're not here, guess what? It's still going to get done. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm not here, it can't get done. I'm Mr. Impossible to replace. Guess what? I wasn't there. The job went on.
Yes, it did, Pastor. It did.
Anybody else? Statement that you heard. It says that somebody left a lasting impression on your life. Encouraging word from parent, teacher, coach, or friend. I've got several. My mother was always saying stuff to me. Ms. Dawson, go ahead. Amen. Amen. Don't let anything supersede living by the principles of God when you have your feelings and your emotions going all over the place. Amen. Let the principles of the Bible guide you. I've got several here, and all these left a lasting impression on my life and kind of shaped how I did certain things here. One was this. My mother used to always say this when I was a kid. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Now, the Bible's version of that is, and it came to pass. That's what the Bible says, and it came to pass. In other words, what happens, whatever you're going through right now, time will eventually go on. Amen. As you say, brother, time and the Holy Spirit will heal everything. Amen. And my mother said it should come to pass. Another one my mother used to say to me all the time, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. I mean, some of y'all heard that one before, right? Amen. Another one she used to tell me was, shoot for the stars, you may land on the moon. In other words, why aim at the moon when you can shoot for the stars? And you may fall on the moon. She told me that when I was a young kid. Another one she told me that really helped me out. She said, you know, Gregory, always remember, you're no better than anybody. She said, but you're no worse either. Yeah. And she said, no matter what they may say or think. She said, you're no better than anybody else. And she said, you're no worse than anybody else, no matter what they may say. And by the way, that really helped me out because I was in a time when there was some racial things going on, some racial tensions. And just for her to tell me that and then to look at others that were equivalent to my age and different color from me really helped me out not to elevate myself, but also not to depress myself as well. I could hold my head up around anybody. I don't care what it was, sports, education, whatever. I said, look, I don't care who you are. You may be a little bit more excelled at me in this, that, or the other, but you're not better than me, but I'm not better than you either. Amen. And another one, my mother used to tell me all the time, don't burn your bridges because the same people you meet going up, you're going to meet them coming down. I thought, amen. My grandfather used to say this, love many, trust a few, learn to paddle your own canoe. Have you ever heard that one before? Love many, trust few, learn to paddle your own canoe. It took me a while to get that. I said, now, what is he talking about? You know, and finally, you know, my mother kind of explained to me what he was talking about. Amen. My mother used to always tell me this one as well. You can learn something from everybody. You can even learn from a fool.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, does the Proverbs use a fool as an example, as a teacher oftentimes?
Yeah,
about what not to do. Amen. So those are just a few statements that were told to me as I was coming up from my parents and others that left a lasting impression on my life and really kind of helped me to see. Now, nothing in those were biblical, but it gave me an outlook that I needed at that time. It goes on to say this, we've all received encouraging as well as discouraging words that have shaped us into what we are today as well. One of the most critical things that I probably heard after I was a Christian is when I was going around asking everybody else how long they doubt their salvation. And I came to Brother Dunn and he screamed at me, boy, why don't you just grow up? And as a Christian, I'm thinking, we're supposed to be Christian people. You're supposed to be loving. You are critical of me. I've only been saved here for, you know, a couple months here and I'm trying to figure this thing out. But you know what? That's the best thing I needed to hear.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because I was being a baby. I wanted man's approval of my salvation and not God's approval of his word. And when he told me, grow up, guess what? I didn't ask anybody from that day forward.
Amen.
You know who I asked? The word of God. And I went back to the Bible. But just the way he said it, boy, just grow up. And had this look of anger and disgust. And I'm thinking, it's because you're the Army. That's what it is. I'm Air Force. Yeah, Army people just like that. Y'all just mad at everybody because you don't wear a blue uniform. You wear green. And something that was very discouraging that I heard, that was critical. There was something discouraging. And I took this to heart. And Brother Neil, a preacher that I very, very well respect, told me this. And it hurt me dearly. He said, you will only ever have a black church.
Whoa.
And he told me that, and I thought,
whoa.
My heart was broken. It was smitten. Whoa. I respected this man. And I thought, I'm not trying to have a black church. I'm trying to have God's church. If only blacks come, so be it.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
I said, but I'm not trying. I said, I can't believe you said that. You will only have a black church. I took offense to that. I said, I'm going to knock on every door I can. Now, if only the blacks come, praise God for them.
Yeah.
I said, but it's not because I'm targeting just one type of people.
Right.
And that hurt. And so they talk about some statements that you may have heard from a parent, teacher, coach, or a friend, or someone else, whether it's rebuke or criticism, whether it's encouraging or discouraging, but it shaped you and it helped make you who you are. They give a quote from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Every great Christian who did anything for God at some point in their life came under the dominating power of a biblical truth. In other words, the statements that you may have heard from somebody is fine. But if you're going to do anything from God, it's going to be a statement that you hear from Almighty God and his word, and it will shape your life.
Yes, sir.
By the way, the call to preach is a shaping call. Amen. Do you agree, Brother Neil? Amen. When the men of God were called to be prophets, their lives went through a series of things that God began to do in their lives to make them who they needed to be. And so it is with you and I. If we're going to totally sacrifice to God, it will equal our satisfaction. So again, every great Christian who did anything for God at some point in their life came under the dominating power of a biblical truth. Amen. It goes on to say this. If we want to do something for God, we'll have to allow biblical truth to transform our lives. In other words, if we want to do something for God, we'll have to let this book tell us how to do it. Would you agree? Amen. By the way, parenting, what do we need? This book. My wife and I read a lot of self-help books on how to raise kids. Guess what? Nothing supersedes this book. If I'm going to be a good husband, what truth do I need? This book. If I'm going to be a good wife, what truth do I need? This book. If I'm going to be a good child, what book do I need? This book. We're going to be a good boss, what do I need? This book. I'm going to be a good employee, what do I need? This book. I don't care what you're going to do. You need the biblical truth because God knows what we need. Amen. Let's go over to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And verse number 2. I'm sorry. 2:15. I said it already.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:15. All right. Who's there can read that for me? 2 Timothy. Go ahead, Brother Ponte. Amen. So we want to be approved unto God. We have to look into his word because his word is going to be the truth that's going to transform our lives. Every truth here. By the way, you got saved by what? A biblical truth. That's how you got saved. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
That's a biblical truth. Amen. So he goes on to say, as we grab hold of the word of God, the individual truth has the power to transform our lives. By the way, we saw that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then we saw whosoever. We said, hey, that means me. So I put myself in that biblical truth. And guess what it did? It transformed my life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when we're on our dying bed, we're taking our last breath, we have the promise of God that our life has been transformed and will be transformed again to a spiritual body based on another biblical truth. So we've got that promise. Amen. And it says through memorizing such passages and applying them to our lives, we can have spiritual victory against the world, the flesh, and the devil. How many of y'all battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil every day? Amen. Oh, yeah. Every day. I mean, and if you don't have a visit from the devil, and if you don't have a visit from the world, guess what you have with you 24 hours a day? The flesh. And guess what? Your flesh doesn't like to do anything that God wants it to do. How many of y'all want to get up this morning? I know I didn't. The alarm clock went off. I hit snooze. Pray for the rapture. If I just don't have to get up, my bones ache, my foot aches, my ankle. I got to get up and walk on this thing. No, Lord, take it away. I didn't want to get up out of the bed this morning. Man, we could have had church in my living room, man. I'd have said, hey, all y'all come over to the house. We're having church today. I'm not going anywhere. Y'all have to come all to my house. It would have been even better if I could have stayed in the bed. And then, you know, I'm got my Bible. All right, everybody, y'all gather around the bedroom here. All right, here's the sermon for today. All right, see y'all later. Go back home. I'm going back to bed. But I couldn't do that. Amen. I had to get up. Why? We got a flesh. And so we can have spiritual victory against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Talks about in this series about having these 13 lessons that are going to try to transform us with the truth that's in each passage. And each passage has the power to change our lives. And if these passages are familiar, then we need to really commit more to memory. Read what it says here. It says, each of these verses alone has the power to change your life. They are all familiar passages you may have already committed to memory. If you have, don't allow your familiarity with the passages to keep you from learning. Rather, challenge yourself to apply them freshly to your life. If you're a newer Christian looking for a good verse to memorize, these are some of the best ones for you. Wherever you are in your Christian walk, you can experience the transforming power of God's word. By the way, when you look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, let's look at that again. Go back to Romans 12. Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 are some of the most transforming words in the scriptures. I notice what it says in verse number 2. After we've presented our bodies a living sacrifice, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a being changed from the inside out, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so when you look at this area of scripture here, it's dealing with us allowing God to change us from his word. Only through living a life, it says here, totally surrendered to God, will a Christian ever find true satisfaction, joy, and peace. This single truth has power to transform our lives. They give an illustration here from communist country China. How many know what happens when they find an athlete that they think could profit them in the Olympics? What do they do with that child? Yes, that's true. What do you say? Optimal word. They leave their family. If they look around communist China and they find a promising child, that child is plucked from the family. Tanya, just imagine yourself being in China and they see Tiana. We think she could be great at gymnastics. And they go to Tanya and say, Tanya, we want your child for the next 12 years. Tanya says, talk to my husband. I said, no, it's not happening. Those are what it says. In the country of China, Olympic athletes are chosen when they are as young as 6 years old. How many got a six-year-old? Nobody got a six-year-old? Seven? Close enough. From that point on, they will attend special schools where they will have intense training in Olympic sports. They will rarely see their parents. Who in the Bible does that remind you of? Old Testament. One of the great prophets, one of the first prophets, Samuel. Samuel was placed at the temple, and his parents didn't see him that often. Everything about their lives will revolve around training for the Olympics. They will live in total surrender to communist China. They are living sacrifices to their country. As Christians, God has called us to be living sacrifices. But what we are called to do is far greater than anything in this world. If these children can commit their lives to work for a medal, how much more should we as Christians commit our lives to Christ? God has called us by his mercy to be living sacrifices. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at three things here. We're going to look at what it means to be a living sacrifice. Then we're going to look at why we are a living sacrifice, why we should be one, and then how do we become a living sacrifice. By the way, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Did every Christian in Rome have to answer that call? Somebody calls you, do you have to answer that call? No. Especially if you're driving, you're not supposed to. Somebody calls you, do you have to answer? No. Somebody knocks on your door, do you have to answer? No, you don't have to. It's voluntary. It's voluntary. What is the advantage of answering a call? Yeah, it is voluntary, but what's the advantage if you answer a call? Or if you answer God's call, what's the advantage that you have if you answer a call? You know right then what was going to be requested of you, whether it's a peddler or whether it's somebody that said you want $1 million. If you answer the call, you have immediate notification of what's requested of you. If you don't answer the call, what's the disadvantage? It may not go as smoothly. You may have a question in your mind. I wonder what was going to be asked of me. And Brother Ponte, if your boss calls you at old dark 30, you know what's going to be requested of you. Probably a recall. Amen. Brother Hall, if there's turmoil going on the border and you get called at a time where you're not supposed to be at work, you pretty much know what's going to happen. And so if I answer the call where he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body living sacrifice. If I answer the call, then I know what's required of me and requested of me, and I can fulfill the will of God. If I don't answer the call, I cannot fulfill the request, and I won't know the perfect will of God. And that is what you're looking at. I asked Brother Baldwin when I was going to surrender to preach, I said, so what happens if I don't surrender? I said, is God going to beat me down? And take me through thorns and briars.
Here we go.
I'm already tithing. I give to missions. I'm a soul winner. What's he going to do? If I don't surrender. And Brother Baldwin just came back as sweetly as he could. He said, Brother, you just never know the perfect will of God.
Right.
And I thought, well, I want to know that. But what does Romans say? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. He said, if you don't surrender, you'll never know what God was going to do with your life. I thought, amen. So we're going to pick up with this next week. Amen. You can fill in that first number one, the meaning of being a living sacrifice. The meaning of being a living sacrifice. And we'll talk about that next week. Oh, not next week. The week after that. The meaning of being a living sacrifice. Your memory verse is going to be 2 Timothy 2:15, but don't forget Romans 12:1 because we will come back to that. All right, so don't forget, no Sunday school next week because it's going to be the awards. 2 Timothy 2:15 is going to be a memory verse, but don't forget Romans 12:1. Amen. The meaning of being a living sacrifice is Roman numeral 1. Amen. So think about that as we're going to be talking about this over the next several weeks. You don't have to present your body as a sacrifice, but you'll never know the perfect will of God if you don't. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you that many of us have surrendered many, many different parts of our lives, Lord, and there's always something else that we can surrender. Help us as we look at what you want to do in our lives based upon what you've already done at the cross. Help us, Lord, go into today listening to see what you want us to do, what you want us to be, where you want us to go, and how you want us to get there. Lord, help us to yield our bodies to you daily as a surrendered sacrificial usage in the kingdom of God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Bless now the refreshments that are next door and help us to do the will of God. Lord, be with those that are all out this weekend traveling in other places. But most of all, may you get all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.